We're doing Gemara Makos. We discussed yesterday that when the Gemara gives us a Kal V'Chomer, we should draw out the Kal V'Chomer. We should draw out what is the lenient and what makes it lenient. What is the more stringent and what makes it more stringent. When we draw out a Kal V'Chomer and force ourselves to actually delineate what are the components, we will very often notice much more details that are important, as in this case, where the Gemara is actually driving a Kal V'Chomer and saying, if a Kohen does the act of marrying a Grusha, that's what the Gemara calls Michalel, so then he himself does not become a Chalal, so then Kohen marrying Grusha is the Chamor, it's the more stringent one, and the reason it's considered more stringent is because he did an action. And the leniency in this chamor is he himself does not become a chala. So then the edim who testify against someone else, they are considered kal compared to the kohen who married a grusha because they didn't do any action. They just testified that someone else, they gave false testimony. So then certainly they should have this leniency that they themselves do not become chalalim. We said, if you look closely, you see that the build-up of this Kal V'Chomer is that doing an action of marrying or doing an action should be more stringent than not doing an action, than giving testimony. So what is the basis for this Kal V'Chomer? It's the assumption that the witnesses giving testimony is a Kal. That if all I did was say, if all I did was give testimony, then that should be more lenient than actually doing the action. Now, if that's so, then I view giving testimony as a kal is being more lenient, says the Gemara, Matkifna Ravina. Rabbi Avina attacks this logic. We're on the bottom line. Im Kain, we always have to look at those words and say, what's he going on? Im Kain means if so. If so, that what? There's something here that bothers him. And we came up with yesterday that what bothers him here is that this line of reasoning, that testimony is more lenient than the action, that's the im kain. Whenever you see im kain, you have to look at it and say, what? What's bothering him? Im kain means if so. So you always have to look for, and we're making it real easy, right? I'm spoon feeding you, right? But when you learn the Gemara, you will usually have to learn a few more lines and then come back to the words im kain and focus on them and say, wait a second, what was bothering the Gemara? Which point was the Gemara asking on? Sometimes Tosus will get bogged down on it. Sometimes the Rishonim won't agree on it. But we have to notice those words because those words are pointing out there's a specific point here that's bothering me. Im kein, if so. If so, that testimony is considered more light than the action itself. Batalta Torat Edim Somimim. You have undone the whole Torah of Edim Zomimim. If we were learning more in depth, we would have to look at what does it mean, the Torah of Edim Zomimim. But we will translate lightly the whole concept of Edim Zomimim. Uma ham sokeleno niskal. If that logic holds, then we should also say that about a situation where witnesses, instead of saying here they testified about a person who's a halal, let's take a case where the witnesses did not become zomimim till after the execution of their testimony. So they actually were sokel. They caused someone to get stoned. So then they don't become edim zomimim. They said edim zomimim only get the punishment if they become zomimim after the court gave its ruling before execution. But what happens after execution? So then I have a problem. But they're not Edom Zomim. They won't get the punishment. I might wag a finger at them. I might say, you guys are a bunch of liars. You guys did second-degree murder. I might do a lot of things. But I cannot say that because they're Edom Zomim, they will get stoned. Because that's not Edom Zomim. Edom Zomim is where their testimony did not yet bring about fruition. It was about to. That's so. So umah hasokel eino niskal. If someone actually stoned someone else, got him stoned with his testimony. And then he's found to be a liar. He doesn't get stoning. Who only testified? If you're saying that testimony of Edom Zomim is a kal, then that logic should say that if they only intended to give stoning, shouldn't we certainly say they shouldn't get stoned? And we do not say that. The whole halacha of Edom Zomimin teaches me the contrary. So then the halacha of Edom Zomimin is intrinsically teaching me that testimony is not kal. And when we broke down our kal v'chomer, we said in order for the kal v'chomer to work, what you have to say is that giving testimony is more light than doing the action. Well, the whole concept of Edom Zomimin says not that way. It says testimony is very severe. So, Mara says, Ela, and whenever we see the word Ela, we come to the realization Ela means rather. In other words, not the way I thought until now. Ela always means nix that, rather something else. So whenever we see the word Ela, we have to answer, what did I just nix? Ela means I've just said not the way I said until now. And so whenever we see the word Ela, we have to focus and say, what was I thinking until now that I undid? The answer in this case is, until now we were trying to say that giving testimony is a light thing, because you didn't actually do anything, you only gave testimony. Ela, but rather giving testimony is a harsh thing. And you could not say this kal v'chomer to say that's why a person does not become a chalal. That answer doesn't hold. But rather, machvarta, the whitened, meaning the clean answer is, kiddishaninan meikara, as we answered initially. Our first answer that said it's not an issue of logic, it's a derivation from the pasuk, that's the answer that stands, and that's the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, so far so good. Okay, for now let's just move on. Say that. Yeah, we got it. Okay, the next line in the Mishnah said, now what the Gemara did not address, the Gemara addressed why I cannot make the witnesses into halal. The Gemara did not address yet, why do I give them lashes? I can't make them into disqualified Kohanim. Okay, I have a pasuk that tells me don't do that. So I won't do that. Fine, but why do I beat them? Why do I even accept their testimony? We said we have a rule. The testimony will only be accepted if it is edut shetecho lazima, testimony that can end up being edim zomimin. Here we're saying...
You know, you said that the testimony, like, the edim zomimin is after that's already been judged, no? Like, so the testimony has already been accepted before you...
But why? We would never accept testimony if I cannot do kasher zama. If I can't punish them in the event that they will become edim zomimin, then I won't accept their testimony to begin with. Meaning when witnesses walk in, before we listen to them, we analyze. Do I have a way of punishing them if they're found to be edim zomimin?
So according to that logic, you'd only accept edut from kohanim in this case?
Well, in this case, I don't end up making them into halalim. I give them lashes. I could give anyone lashes. So then the question is, well, why is lashes a fulfillment of kasher zama? How I understand that I can't make them into halalim. Fine, you showed me a puzzle. But I also have to give them something that fulfills having punished them the equivalent of their intent. Well, why is lashes the equivalent of their intent? Torah says, give them what they were intending to inflict. Okay, how do lashes do that? Where did makos come in? Maybe tax them $1 million. I mean, where'd that come from? So we haven't answered that yet. That remains hanging. We're moving forward. The second case in the Mishnah was, if someone gives testimony that Reuven has to go to Galut, meaning Reuven killed someone by mistake and he must go into exile. So we don't say that if these witnesses are found to be Edom Zomimin, they themselves must go into exile. So the Gemara asks, Mino Hanimili, what's the source for this? Why wouldn't we just kick him out into exile? That's what they were trying to inflict, give them that punishment. We go back to everything we said in the beginning of the week. We see the Gemara is willing to entertain within its question the idea that doing onto someone an equivalent tax equals doing kasha zama. Meaning, in the first case, he's not a halal. I'm going to treat him like a halal. That's considered I did kasha zama. In this case, the guy didn't kill anyone. But if I can inflict the identical punishment, then from the Gemara's perspective, to invent a halachic entity of saying, you witnesses must go into exile, even though technically no such halachic entity exists, that's something the Gemara is willing to entertain. So the Gemara is asking, well, why don't I do that? That means from the Gemara's perspective, doing that is fine. Creating a halachic entity that doesn't exist in Torah, that's okay. And we also will have to analyze going into exile as a punishment. Meaning I'm saying, they testified so-and-so murdered by mistake, so he has to go into exile. We view it as they were trying to inflict the punishment of going into exile. Is going into exile a punishment? Meaning, is that what they were trying to inflict by giving this testimony? That's going to be the focus of the next Gemara. Okay, pick up here. I have to ask you, what am I supposed to do? I got home last night after 3 o'clock. I didn't know if I could make it today, and I had no way of letting anyone know.